From the Earth to the Moon and Around the Moon by Jules Verne. Translated by Ron Miller. Narrated by Tad Davis. Please note that two essays by the translator, Ron Miller, appear at the end of the audiobook. The first, Was Verne Wrong?, examines the science behind the novel. The second, The Conquest of Space book series, discusses the collection of books and stories about space travel that Ron Miller is editing and publishing. This translation originally appeared as part of that series. Part 1. From the Earth to the Moon. Chapter 1. The Gun Club. During the Civil War in the United States, a new and very influential club was established in the town of Baltimore in Maryland. Everyone knows with what energy the military instinct was developed in this nation of shipowners, merchants, and mechanics. Simple tradesmen leaped over their counters to become captains, colonels, and generals. Without ever having studied at West Point, they quickly equaled their colleagues in the old world in the art of war by winning victories through lavish expenditures of munitions, millions, and men. But where the Americans surpassed the Europeans was in the science of ballistics. Not that their weapons had reached a higher degree of perfection, but that they were of uncommon dimensions, and consequently had hitherto unknown ranges. In matters of grazing, plunging, or direct fire, oblique raking or flank fire, the English, the French, and the Prussians no longer have anything to learn. But their guns, their howitzers, and their mortars are like handguns compared to the formidable machines of the American artillery. This should not astonish anybody. Yankees, those prime mechanics of the world, are engineers, just as the Italians are musicians, and the Germans, metaphysicians, by birth. Nothing was more natural, consequently, than to see them bringing to the science of ballistics their daring ingenuity. These gigantic guns, though much less useful than sewing machines, were more astonishing and even more admirable. The wonders of Parrott, Dahlgren, and Rodman are well known. Armstrong, Palliser, and Troille of Beaulieu could do no more than bow before their overseas rivals. Therefore, during this terrible fight between Northerners and Southerners, the artillerists had the upper hand. Union newspapers celebrated their inventions with enthusiasm, and there was no merchant so unknown, no booby so simple, who wasn't racking his head day and night, calculating fantastic trajectories. However, when an American has an idea, he seeks a second American who shares it. If there are three, they elect a president and two secretaries. If there are four, they name an archivist, and the business is functioning. Five, and they convene a general assembly, and the club is constituted. Thus, it had happened in Baltimore. The first one who had invented a new gun joined the first one who had cast it, and the first who bored it. Such was the core of the gun club. 1 month after its formation, it counted 1,833 effective members and 30,575 corresponding members. A condition sine qua non was imposed that any person who wanted to join the association could only do so if he had invented, or at least improved, a cannon. In the absence of a cannon, some sort of firearm. But it must be said that the inventors of 15-shot revolvers, of swiveling rifles, or of saber guns did not enjoy...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?